Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your eternal word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for anointing your people. I thank you for mass conviction through your spoken word. And I give you glory for it now, in Jesus' name. In the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 24 through 29. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning do make thee mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Our teaching comes from verses 28 of Acts chapter 26. Almost, but still lost. Almost, but still lost. In our story here, we notice how the Apostle Paul was ministering before Festus as well as Agrippa, two individuals that was in positions of authority. This shows us how that the soul that sinned, it shall die, whether it's king, president, priest, prophet, it matters not to God, the position that people hold in life. Agrippa said something to Paul that's most astounding and almost and somewhat disturbing. Agrippa tells Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. You almost convinced me in surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. What I want to say to you that's listening to this message, you may be like King Agrippa. You may have heard the word of God. You may have understood what you must do in order to become a Christian. The word Christian simply means to be Christ-like. And I want to bring out seven things that I really believe that caused Agrippa not to become a Christian. And I really believe out of these seven things that the Holy Spirit has given to me, there are many of you that's listening, you're not Christians. You're church members. Your name is on the church's roll. You've been baptized in water. You've given the preacher your hand. And you think you're saved, but you're still not a Christian. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what I'd like for you to do is to continue to listen to this message. Because after this message, if you're still not a Christian, and after hearing the word, let me inform you right now, my friend, if you die without Jesus Christ being your personal Lord and Savior, you will go straight to hell. But the good news is that Jesus died to keep you from going to hell. So that's your choice. Do not let what people in the church building has done or may be doing stop you from becoming a Christian. Stop you from becoming a new creation in Christ. Because understand this, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So stop looking at what people are doing and what they're not doing, and you focus on this. If you know you're not saved, you know Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior, lose focus on what people are doing and put your eyes toward Jesus and surrender your life to him. Almost, but still lost. Let me give you these 7 points. Number one, pride. There are many of you listening to me. You're full of pride. You won't humble yourself down, and you know your life is messed up. You know what you're doing is not right. And you've even told people you know you're not living right. Do you not know, my friend, with a statement like that, you can die and go straight to hell knowing what you're doing is not right? But my question comes to you. Since you know what you're doing is not right, what are you doing about it besides talking about it? So the first thing that I believe which caused Agrippa not to become a Christian was his pride. See, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Number two, what others may say. Agrippa was probably concerned about what people may have said about him. You may be listening to this message. You may be so focused and so concerned about what your partners are going to say, what your girlfriend or your boyfriend is going to say, if they're not going to be with you anymore if you decide to give your life to Jesus Christ. Well, let me say it to you like this, my friend. Whether your friends stay with you or they don't stay with you, if Jesus is not your personal Lord and Savior, you will still die eventually and go to hell. But you don't have to go. This is what I keep stressing to you. Do not worry yourself about what people are going to say. What you need to concern with is what is God saying about your life. Number three, loving pleasure. Agrippa probably had a lot of things he still wanted to do, and he really loved a lot of things that he knew was ungodly, just like many people today. You may be doing things you know is not right. And what's amazing, nobody has to tell you what you're doing is wrong. You know deep within your heart that the life you're living and the way you're going is a road to destruction. But God has sent this message directly to you, my friend. Whatever your name may be, almost, but you're still lost. Almost, my friend, will not get you into heaven. You must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Point number four. Agrippa probably did not believe in hell, like many religions teach people today. There's no such place as hell. God is too merciful to send anybody to hell. I got to agree with that statement. God has never, and God will never, send no human being to hell. Any soul that's in hell today and that eventually will go, they're going because of their choice. Listen, when you reject Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you check out of this life, you will go to hell, not because God sent you, but because of the choice you made. And whether or not you believe that there's a hell, time will tell, my friend. If you don't surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you will find out personally if there's such a place that exists called hell. Point number five. Agrippa felt like he had time, like many of you today. You think that you have time to get yourself straight. Look around you, my friend. Look at the events that's happening in this world. It's a sign that Jesus is soon to return. Look at how people are leaving this world. Many friends you had that you grew up with, they're now pushing up daisies. Many people you went to work with, you went to school with, you see them one day, and the same day, many of them are gone. What is that telling you, my friend? You do not have time like you think. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So Agrippa felt like he had time. My friend, time is not on your side. Point number six. Agrippa probably saw nothing wrong with the way he was living. Like many people today, they think shacking up is okay. They think living common law is all right. And what many people are thinking today, that God is accepting, God is still against it. If God was against it thousands of years ago, He's still against it in 2002, and any other year that may come and that may go. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If that person is not your husband, they shouldn't be staying in your house. If they're not your wife, they should not be staying in your house. So Agrippa felt like, I can live like I want to live. Listen, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And number seven, Agrippa wondered, would Jesus forgive me of all the wrong that I've done? And I want to take this time, my friend, to let you know that Jesus will forgive you. He will not only forgive you, He will cleanse you, He will wash you, He will change your life, He will make you a new creation in Him, where all things will begin to pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Almost, but still lost. I've given you seven reasons that I believe that Agrippa did not become a Christian. And this question is posed to you. What is your reason, my friend, for not becoming a Christian? Oh, you're going to see many hypocrites. You're going to see many people that profess to be, and they're really not. But remember something. None of these people you're looking at died on a cross for you. None of these people you're looking at was buried for 3 days. None of these people you're looking at was resurrected on the third day. None of these people, my friend, that may be stopping you from giving your life to Jesus Christ, has died for you. Only Jesus, my friend. And if you're tired of wondering, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and realize that when you die, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that heaven will be eternal resting place, I want to take this time to pray with you. Bow your head, my friend, wherever you are, and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to planet Earth. You hung on a cross. You died and you was buried. And you rose again on the third day. I believe you're alive right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I surrender all to you this day. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me and changing me in Jesus' name. My friend, if you have prayed that prayer, you what the Bible calls a new creation in Christ, where all things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. So remember, my friend, almost, but still lost. And if you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, I pray that you do it this day, because tomorrow, my friend, is not promised you. And Father, I thank you for mass conviction. Thank you for saving, healing, and delivering through your spoken word in Jesus' mighty name. That you have done in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, a man can change. So what we are dealing with is, what is the prosperity that will come as long as we seek God? Number seven, we will receive breakthroughs over what the enemy is trying to use
to break us down with. We will receive breakthroughs over what the enemy is trying to use to break us down with. As you seek God, God will give you breakthroughs over what the enemy is trying to use to break you down with. He can bring all kind of things to your life, to your mind, to make you crack, to make you feel like you can't function. If I don't have this, I can't go forward. If I don't have that, see, your only dependency should be on God and nothing or no one else. So when you seek God, He gives you breakthrough over what the enemy has been trying in the past to use to break you down, to make you want to blame God for what's not working. God will give you a breakthrough over that. Well, you'll look back and see, God, I thank you for this because you broke me through this. Because the devil tried to use this to break me down is what has taken me out. But because I sought you, you gave me victory over this. Now I can help somebody else get victory over what the devil is trying to use to break them down with. Glory to God. That's prosperity. And I still ain't touched on money. Because money ain't the issue. You could have a bunch of money still bound. You could have money and vexed and disgusted. That ain't hitting on nothing. Give me the peace of God which passes all understanding. Give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Give me God's presence in the midst of people. Hallelujah. Because when people come and go, God is still there. Hallelujah. You can go to bed at night without taking pills. That's prosperity. I don't need nothing to go to sleep. I sleep naturally so. I will both lay me down and sleep. Why? For you will sustain me. Glory to God. And then David said, He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my... That's prosperity. When God leads you to a place where you can have peace in your spirit, you can have peace in your soul, in the midst of confusion all around you, you can still have peace in the midst of the storm. That's prosperity. Yet you got money in the bank, you didn't even think about no money because you're trying to come out of what you're facing. That's prosperity. Everything can be paid and you still disgusted. No, prosperity is when you can have nothing and you got peace. You hear what I'm saying? Your life is not predicated on what you have, but who you have. Glory to God. You'll catch that one tomorrow. Not what you have, but who you have, and that's Jesus. Glory to God. That's prosperity. When you can talk to Him and He talks back to you, that's prosperity. You ain't serving no dead Savior. He hears your cry even when folk turn a deaf ear to you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Find meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, my burden is light. Glory to God. I feel the power. I'm trying to teach you, but I feel my preacher coming on. He said, come to me. Let's talk this thing over. I know what you're going through, and I've seen how long you've been facing this, but I want to bring you out. That's prosperity. When you can pray and get answers, that's prosperity. When you can pray and get results, that's prosperity. Before you even call, He responds to you. That's prosperity. Glory to God. Jesus Christ. I need to come to a close. My God. I feel the power of God pop by Jesus. That's prosperity, man. You can get on your face and say, Father, I stretch my hands to you. No other help I know. He said, what do you want, son? He responds to you. That's prosperity. You didn't even think about no money. I need you to lift the burden of my heart. That's prosperity. Give me peace in the midst of all this confusion. That's prosperity. And I still ain't talked about no money. When your heart is heavy, you ain't even thinking about no money. You're thinking about getting your heart lifted from this burden. I don't know which direction to take. That's prosperity. And he said, follow me and I'm going to show you. That's prosperity. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. That's prosperity. When you know what you're doing, that he got you doing what I kind of want. When you know that God got you doing it, that's prosperity. You ain't guessing, you ain't wondering, you're moving because he got you moving. That's prosperity. Let me settle down here. Jesus Christ. Number eight. Where we at? Number eight. I should have put a longer tape in here. We will be helped by God in what he has given us to do. Oh, glory to God. It's wonderful when God intervenes in what you're doing. When God back what you're doing. And God move in the midst of what you're doing. You speak that word, God right there to confirm it. That's prosperity. Hallelujah. You ain't trying to make nothing happen. All you're doing is speaking the word. And when the word comes forth, God say, what you say? I watch over what I say. I'm going to do this. That's prosperity. Hallelujah. Number nine. We will receive gifts. Listen to this one. We will receive gifts from those that we never thought would give us anything. If God is for you, who can be against you? And when God is on your side, those that got what you need, God will touch them and he'll give it to you. You ain't got to go begging and no pleading. You get on your face and talk to him, he then talks to them. God will cause men to give into your bosom. He does that, see? He does that. And that's prosperity. When people begin to come up to you and begin to give you things, get this, that you didn't even ask for. God touched their heart and said, I want you to do this. Glory to God. That's prosperity. And see, the people that God touched, they're glad to do it. They ain't complaining and fussing. But I'm looking to be a blessing to somebody. I'm looking to give out to somebody. That's prosperity. Because all you do is put yourself in a position to get more from God. Jesus, Jesus. Number 10. Hallelujah. We will be used by God in preparing others for what God has called them to do. Let me read that one again. We will be used by God in preparing others for what God has called them to do. See, God will use you as you seek him in helping somebody. Oh, glory to God. In preparing people who know they have a call on their life. And God will have you to take them under your wing and nurture them and encourage them and push them and let them know you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you would, listen, you become like a mother to that person. You would watch over them and you would pray with them and pray for them and you would encourage them. Even when they make mistakes, you say, get yourself back up. You can do it. You can make it. Don't stop because you make a mistake. Get yourself back on your feet and try this again. See, you'll be used by God in helping prepare those who God calling to the ministry. And those who recognize what God wants them to do. God will use you in developing what's in them and bringing what's in them out. Hallelujah. See, that's prosperity. Everybody can't do that. Everybody ain't got patience to deal with people. They mess up, get them out of here, whatever. Say no. But see, that's prosperity. When you seek God God will use you to prepare somebody he will point out to you. See, God will point him out to you. Yeah, I call him to do this and that. And you begin to work with that person in reference to what you know God called them to do. And they know they've been called to do it. And they accept the call on their life. And now they want to be taught, I'm talking to somebody, they want to be taught and trained how to come forth to do what, oh hallelujah. They want to come forth, I want to do what God called me to do. I got to make sure I'm in the right place in order to get what I need before I can come forth to do what he called me to do. I'm running out of time, people. Next, number 12. Number 11, where we at? I get lost. Number 11. Listen. We will be given wisdom to do things that we have never done before. God's going to give you wisdom to do things you never done before. He that winneth souls is wise. It takes wisdom to reach people. And God will give you a wisdom to be an effective fisher of the kingdom. And as you pray, God will begin to increase that. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally in the bread and not, and it shall be given him. No, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, when you ask God, you got to know that you know that you know. It's yours. Give me the wisdom to reach people. You're not just asking for wisdom just to be smart. I'm intelligent. Intelligence ain't hitting on nothing. You need the anointing. Intelligent but ain't got nothing. But I can be dumb, yet anointed souls get delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I may not have a degree behind my name with all these alphabets, but I got a degree in neology. I know how to pray and get through to heaven. Hallelujah. I know what it takes to bring the anointing. And I know what destroys the yoke of bondage. And that's the anointing. And the anointing comes through prayer. And the more you pray, the more the anointing comes. The less you pray, the less the anointing comes. And if you ain't praying, forget about the anointing coming, period. Let me move on. Number 13. Number to whatever. Next number. I feel like fire in this place. Jesus. I know y'all getting confirmation. I know it. I hear it all in the air. Next. We will be blessed in every area of our life. Well, we can be a blessing to others. That's prosperity. When God will bless you and then use you to be a blessing to somebody else. That brings such joy to your heart, doesn't it? Isn't it wonderful for God to use you to put a smile on somebody's face who was frowning? Don't you know it don't always take a lot to reach people? Just an arm around the shoulder, you lift their spirit. Huh? Sometimes you just smiling brings deliverance to people. It puts a joy in their heart because why? I didn't think I was going to make it, but when I saw you smiling, I knew everything was going to be all right, Larry. Everything going to be all right. Oh, praise God. And last, coming to the end, we will have a reputation as being God's vessel that he is using because of the things God will do in and through us. Yeah, we will have a reputation of being God's vessel that he is using because of the things God will do in and through us. See, when you seek God, you're not looking for a reputation, but God will cause it to be known who you are. And people will tell other people what God is doing in you. You understand that? You ain't got to put your, I'm prophet so-and-so, and I'm bishop so-and-so. No, see? You can have all that stuff and ain't got nothing. You can be plain old Jack and plain old Sue, but be anointed and souls will follow you. I made a rhyme. I didn't know that, see? Oh, I couldn't do that if I tried that, you know that? See, when you just a humble person before God and you seek God, God will draw people to you. Not because of you, not because you're pretty or you're cute or you got it going on. It ain't nothing about you anyhow. It's about Jesus, see? And they see a light in you that they're drawn to because they're tired of the darkness they're in. And they come to a close. Loving Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the prosperity that will come as long as we seek you. And God, I ask today that you birth in the hearts of your people a desire to seek you greater than we've ever sought you before. And God, anoint us to pray even the more. Give us a heart and a mind and a will to pray even greater in this